Hey, back. Hey, back. Little baby. Little baby. What's up, y'all? Lupe here. Lupe Fiasco is here. With another edition of Super Facts. Another edition of Super Facts. What's up, y'all? How y'all doing? I have a show on. Shout out to everybody that came out to the LA show and everybody that came out to the Anaheim show. It was cracking. Shout out to Denzel Curry. Shout out to my boy Daylight IT. And shout out to everybody came out to Anaheim. Shout out to Bruno, baby goat. Little 10-year-old battle rapper came up there and murdered us on stage. So for everybody that came out to the show, we really appreciate y'all. And yeah, thanks. So we got two shows this week. First show is in Chicago at the House of Blues on Wednesday, the 15th. And we got a show the next day at the Turner Hall Ballroom in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the next day, so the 15th and the 16th. So if you ain't got the tickets or you want to get tickets, you can go to lupefiasco.com and click on the links to get the tickets to the shows. So again, we got House of Blues on the 15th, this Wednesday, and then Thursday we got a Turner Hall Ballroom in Milwaukee. And then after that, we got a break all the way through until I think the next show is December 8th in Inglewood, Colorado, which is close to like Denver. And then the day after, I think the 9th, December 9th, we're up at Aspen, Colorado at the Belly Up. And then December 15th, we're in Berkeley. I think at the UT or the UC Theater or something like that. But you can go to lupefiasco.com and get all of the ticket information to the concerts. And then for everybody that's out in Australia and New Zealand, we'll be there January, I think second week of January. But just stay tuned to the Instagram and the Twitter, and we'll be promoting those shows. But you can get all the show information at lupefiasco.com. And for everybody who's wondering when we're going to come to Europe or to your part of the world, we all plotting that for next year. Okay, so we got they just sent me like a list of stuff, potential stuff for like next year, where we're gonna be going back to Europe. I think some stuff in Asia and a couple different parts. So, but just stay tuned. We're doing our best. We're in the midst of some other stuff. So yeah. So super facts today. The super facts today is this right here, y'all. Right? So I just seen. And I didn't even watch it, but I just seen a Dead End Hip Hop. I think it's DEHH. They do like reviews of albums and stuff like that. And I remember they did a review of like one of my mixtapes. They did a review of Tetsuo on Youth. And I never really kind of get into the critics. You know, I kind of let them have their way. Sometimes I respond because sometimes they don't be critiquing the music. They be critiquing the person. And I feel like that's not cool. Now, I think that you should at least have a courtesy to separate, you know, people, their work from their from who they are, you know, because everybody got their flaws and everybody got their, you know, their ups and downs and the things that they're going through. And sometimes their music is their release to get away from that, or they're trying to show their best face in their music. And when you kind of critique the person as opposed to critiquing the music for whatever reason, because you don't like them. You know, you seen them in a club and they didn't shake your hand or whatever. They said something in an interview you didn't like. You know, sometimes it's best to just stay focused on people's music as opposed to, you know, focusing on people's, you know, their lifestyle or what they choose to do with themselves or how they talk or how they carry themselves. So anyway, the super fact that I wanted to get into today was about, they just put out somewhere. It was like, and shout out to my man, shout out to my man Justin Hunt over at Hip Hop DX. You can follow him at The Company Man on Twitter, and I think that's his IG as well. But he runs Hip Hop DX, a good friend of mine, one of the homies, always rocking with me, always rocking with him, amongst others. Shout out to Hot New Hip Hop. Shout out to my man Ruby Hornet. Shout out to my bro Andrew Barber. Shout out to all the bloggers, except the ones that are like dicks. You feel me? But for most of them are cool. But what they did a little thing, I guess sometime either, you know, recently, and the topic was, and I think they just released it today, or maybe not, maybe for a little while. But anyway, the topic was, should rappers, should artists burn out or fade away? And I didn't really get into, I didn't listen to the whole like thing. I'll listen to it later, but I'm not even going to get into what they piece was about. It was just one thing that spunked me a little bit. And it was just like in the introduction of it. And it was like, man, maybe I should do a super fact about this, 'cause this is a little funky. And one of the people on the panel, he was like, he said, you know, my artist should do et cetera, X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z. You know, he was like, my artist. He's like, should my artist, you know, should fade away or do this or do that, whatever his statement was after that. But what I got caught up on was the word my, right? You know, the super fact of it is, being an artist, I've been in the music business for like 20 years, professionally for like, I don't even know how long, but around junior year of high school, sophomore year of high school, I was like, I'm finna be a rapper, and I dedicated my life to being an artist. I didn't take my SATs, didn't take my PSATs, I didn't take ACTs or none of that. I was like, I'm not going to college, I'm finna be a rapper, and dedicated my life to it. And then work toward that every day, you know, sitting down writing raps, going to open mics, you know, putting yourself on the front lines, going to battles, you know, doing ciphers, doing verses as opposed to doing your homework. Then as you get into the professional space, you know, doing deals with companies that are not necessarily on the up and up, but for the sake of your art or your vision, you know, you take those risks and you take those chances. You know, signing with management teams that might not necessarily have your best interest in mind, and then finding out people who have your best interest in mind. Being in the studios days and days and days on end, working, you know, not necessarily getting paid. You get paid in chunks as opposed to having a salary or a check that you can count on. You kind of work in check to you working show to show or song to song. Got to chase down people to get your money. You got to deal with all type of lawyers. You got to deal with all type of management. You got to deal with producers. You got to deal with sample clearances. I mean, as an artist, you do, you know, behind the scenes, you do a ton of stuff. You know, but that's the decision that we chose as artists, whether we trap artists, we mumble rappers, we super intellectual, crazy rappers, or we, you know, we just regular dudes trying to just do it as a side hustle. I mean, it's a job and it take effort from us, you know, and when you're on the road or you're touring, nice hard work, like you messing up your body. I got all type of body parts messed up. Even my teeth. See my teeth right here? They chip. That's from microphones. They call it microphone teeth, where you rap and you might mess up and hit yourself in the mouth with the microphone. So, I mean, to say all that to say, artists get a blood, sweat, and tears for what they do. And sometimes they're performing for a stadium full of people, and sometimes they're performing for a coffee shop with nobody in it. But at the end of the day, you know, that's theirs. You know, that belongs to them. I get that the fans pay for it, and it's a commercial aspect to it. And you want to cater to the audience, and you want to give people what they pay for. But when you stretch it out, I mean, everybody paying a $10, or even now when everybody got they streaming services, I mean, you paying $15 to access to all the music in the world. I mean, when you break that down, how much are you really contributing to that one artist, whether it be Beyonce or whoever, Lil Yachty? You know, when you break that down, you giving like a couple cents, you know, to their cause. When you go out and see their shows, like, yeah, you know, some people, they charge a ton of money for their tickets, but for the most part, ain't no artist charging you $1,000 a ticket or $100 to come see their show or something like that. Like, you paying about like 20 bucks or something like that on top of the CD. But at the same time, too, I mean, that artist got to pay for the gas to get there. You got to pay for the all, you know, his team to make sure you get the show properly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's not just the artist is going to collect every single dime that somebody gets to them and they using that and they can put it in the bank. I mean, we still got to pay taxes just like everybody else. We still got overhead and we got to pay for family members to get out of jail. And I mean, we still got to pay for all that stuff, you know, like super duper Uber facts. So it ain't like just artists are just sitting around sitting on bags of money, just exploiting the artists at every turn. Like, I mean, we still got to pay for shit to even put the show on. You know, we still got to pay for the DJ and pay for the equipment and pay for the band members and pay for this and pay for the hotels and pay for the flights to get there and pay for such and such, you know. But I say that to say, to go back to my original point, was like, you know, this ain't yours. This is ours. You feel me? This is ours. This belongs to us. I'm not your artist. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't say, oh, it's mine. It's not yours. I mean, this belongs to us. And it's not as simple as just like, I mean, just because of the way you interact with it may be super simple because it's easy for you to download it, or it's easy for you to even have to go buy when it was CDs and tapes, for you to go just go to the store and get the tape and get the CD and bump it in your car and spend like $5. Or you might got the bootleg. And for a lot of y'all niggas, y'all was downloading the shit illegally, or you go listen to it on YouTube or whatever, right? Like, I mean, that's easy for you. But take into consideration what it took to even create it. Super facts. You feel me? To even create that piece of music, no matter how small or dope or whack it is. I mean, taking into consideration that it was effort and time and spent and sacrifice made, whether it be the wackest verse or the illest verse you ever heard, that the artist had to put his time and opportunity, take away from his family, take away from his personal life, take away from other opportunities that he could have pursued, he or she could have pursued, to present, to put something together that is their heart and soul, and the reasonings and why they make it and what they made it for. I mean, that's a personal thing for them. You know, maybe they want to tell a story in a specific way or tell a story in a different way, but that's really up to them and their creative control. But no matter what it is, it has value and has value to them. And even though you buy it or you participate in it, the artist doesn't belong to you. The CD might belong to you. You feel me? Like the tape may belong to you. The stream that you stream, it may belong to you at that given moment. Actually, when you stream it, you don't own that. Just so you know, you don't own that stream. Like you're basically licensing it. That's why it's so cheap. But other than that, everything outside of that don't belong to you. It's not yours. You can't say it's mine, because once you do that, you start to operate under the assumption that the artist belongs to you, and that you can dictate what the artist does, and that the artist has a certain level of expectations or a certain list of criteria that he has to meet for you as the consumer of it at every single moment. And then when he or she doesn't meet your criterion, that artist is no longer valuable, that artist is no longer valid, or he's wilding out, or he or she needs to go away, or he or she needs to do that. I mean, that's up for the artist to decide. You feel me? Whether the artist is selling no records or he's selling 100 million records, that's for up to him or her to decide what their longevity in the game is going to be and what their place in the game is going to be. And if you really want to be super facts about it, the first line of credibility and the first line of acceptance, or the first person that you really should take any as an artist that you should take any advice from, is outside of your family. Like the people that you're blood related to, I mean, it should be your fellow artists. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not making art, just to keep it 100, if you're not making art, I mean, if you're not, and we can expand this to paintings or music or films or TV shows, if you're not sitting your ass in the studio, you know, racking your brain trying to come up with the idea, or, you know, putting yourself to whatever your process is to be in the mode to create, and then go through the whole process of editing and finishing and revising or even rewriting or re-singing and doing 100 takes to get it the right way so you as an artist feel comfortable. If you're not doing that, man, then you can't really speak on what people do in a real definitive, authoritative way. Super facts. You know, and people let that slide because they feel like they take the opportunity, because it's like, well, if you didn't have fans, if you didn't have customers, then you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. And that's not true, because there's people who ain't gonna have no fans, who never did it to have fans. You know what I'm saying? They never did it to have fans. They did it because it was something that they loved to do. And you can't tell who that is. Like, who was doing it because they do it because they love it. And whether they made $1 million off of it and no money off of it, they would still be doing it, whether somebody showed up to watch them do it or not. And the kicker is, most of the work that artists do that are commercial artists that come out, you're not finna hear probably the majority of what they do. Right? And they're not even writing it for you. They might be writing it for themselves. Right? So you might not even hear that fire verse or what they feel is their best verse, simply because they didn't write it to be put on blast. They didn't write it to be put it on a pedestal or to prove something to you, whether you're a blogger or a critic or a fan. They did it for themselves. They did it to express themselves. Right? So when as a journalist and I can speak to a little bit of journalism and speak to what they do, because I used to write as a journalist. You know what I'm saying? I published and had my stuff published in newspapers that wasn't raps. It was, you know, Wasalu Jaco writing about such and such, or if it was under Lupe Fiasco writing about such and such. So I can speak to a little bit of that craft because I started out as a writer. But that's not my daily bread and butter, so that's why I don't say shit about it, right? I'm not sitting around trying to figure out, you know, what the criterion for critiquing music should be, and then explain that to a music writer or a music journalist who went to school for it. Unfortunately, we didn't have a school to go for rap, so we can't come with the same credentials to put in your face. We doing it now. Shout out to Society of Spoken Art. We putting that together now, so there will be a structure or some type of criterion for rappers in the future. So when they step to the plate, they're going to show you their degree from the Society of Spoken Art. And it's just as valid and valuable, whatever institution or university you went to get your journalist degree. And we can match on that level. But as in the time being, that ain't my bread and butter. It ain't most artists' bread and butter to be journalists. And so who are we to speak on what you do? But that same level of kind of courtesy that we extend to y'all should extend back to us as artists, right? Because, I mean, I'm not finna play that, oh, if it wasn't for us, then you wouldn't have nothing to write about. Then you would always have something to write about, right? But, I mean, when you go in there and you start speaking your piece, you don't possess us. You don't own us. I don't give a fuck how much you think you do. Or because you're one person who bought one CD, or you bought the whole collection, or you bought the merch shirt, and you feel that you have ownership over the artist. You don't. We appreciate it. And most of that money, especially as indie artists, we got to turn around and put that right back into making more music. You know what I'm saying? Paying for studio time and stuff like that. So, I mean, we appreciate it and we value it. And that's why we do that. That's why we even come back out to do it for the fans. And you come to our shows and we turn up and perform for an extra hour and a half. Or, you know, we perform in crazy places or small towns or this funky spot. Or just whatever every artist feel like they doing to go above and beyond the call of duty for their fans. Not for the whole world, for their fans, for the people that are fans of them, that support them. And they appreciate their music, the artists, because I'm telling you, because I'm an artist, I appreciate that. I appreciate all my fans. I go above and beyond a call of duty for them. But I don't own them, and they don't own me. And it's never been like that. And I don't know what journalists be operating off of, where they feel like you can just say anything you want as if, and then dictate the career of an artist. Right? Or dictate how they should do and what they should do. Now, if your advice is coming from a place because you're an artist, right, and you're a fellow rapper and you're putting your nuts on the line the same way that they are day in and day out, dealing with the traps and the trappings and the traps of fame, and dealing with the pressures, the social pressures of being exposed day in and day out, and having your life exposed, and dealing with all of the problems that come with having some money, or the perception that you're making money, right? If you're not putting yourself out there, then you can't really articulate real usable advice to a person about how and what they should do and for how long they should do it. You feel me? That's none of your business. Literally, it's none of your business. Not like that ain't none of your business, mind your business. I mean, but it's none of your business. That's not your business, right? To try and dictate the legacy of another artist, of an artist, period, no matter how successful, how prominent, or how underground and whack they are. Like, it's none of your business. So that just kind of threw me off. And I just wanted to kind of put that out there to the homies at DEHH. And you know, the other journalists who feel like, man, to keep it super facts with you. Like, we can have a relationship and we can, you know, that's cool. But when if somebody not telling you how to write your articles, if somebody not telling you the best way to position your articles or position what website you should be writing for or what type of topics you should be covering or even get as atomic on a level where it's like you should be using this type of wording or this type of diction or this type of writing style because it will help your longevity as a journalist, and you really should be covering more political things, or you should be, if you're going to do arts, maybe you should talk about jazz more than you talk about rap. If we're not doing that to you, then you shouldn't do that to us. You feel me? And so, you know, I got to put my shit on the line. Like, you know, I've done things and put out music where I wasn't 100% with the music, not because of what the label was doing, because that's what the fans wanted. That's what y'all wanted, right? Y'all wanted to, how come he not doing a song like this? Or can you please do a song like that? Or the radio is doing this, or radio is doing that. I want to hear more songs like this, right? And people do it. And it ain't like that the song, whether the song is whack or dope or it's amazing or it's not, that's us looking at, like, what do our fans want? You know, what are they vibing with? You feel me? And it's like, yeah, okay, we're going to do some of that. And it's certain things where it's like, yeah, you don't know how an artist is dealing with his professional situation. I can speak for me. I had a label that didn't support. And when you're trying to put your heart and soul into something that you love and you want to express yourself on the highest level, but you know they not finna, right? I'm talking about they not even finna take it to the radio station. They not even finna press up vinyl so you can have vinyl like everybody else. They not even finna do none of that shit. You're like, well, I'm not finna give my heart and soul to these people, right? I'm not finna. I talked about this with Drogas Light, so at a show in I think in Seattle when I bought it up, and people kind of took it as, oh, Lupe shitted on his fans or he did this, and it was like, nah, if you listen to the whole thing, or if you were there, which is some reason why I don't like talking about shit at shows or releasing shit at shows, because if you're not at the show to hear the whole thing, you're just gonna see the clip on YouTube or see a headline, somebody talking about it, you're gonna think the artist then lost his fucking mind. But the reason I said it was like, you know, Drogas Light was my last album with Atlantic, technically. And it was like, I'm sitting on three albums, right? And I can either, and my plan was to do, like, let me drop three albums this year so I can give you the Drogas Light album, which is my piece to satisfy my contract with Atlantic. I do not want them to own another piece of my heart and soul for another 10 years. Right? I don't want to do that. So it's like, how do you navigate that situation? Now, I'm not saying that's with everybody's situation, but you don't know. It's things like that where an artist is faced with a professional decision and a personal decision, a spiritual decision, a psychological decision, all wrapped up into one thing. Right? You don't have the privilege to be private or the privilege to kind of just walk away from certain things because he may be contractually obligated to the situation. He may be financially obligated to people that's around him. And I'm not talking about like goons who are going to extort him. I mean, like, he might have kids. And for him, he like, man, or he or she, it's like, man, the decision I need to make needs to satisfy. It may not satisfy the professional and the emotional, but it's definitely going to satisfy this financial and this psychological, right? But then if I want to try and satisfy the psychological and the financial, you know, it's going to fuck up my professional and my personal, right? So you dealing on different levels. You know what I'm saying? And people dealing with and coming to situations with very unique perspectives and very, very unique kind of sets of circumstances that they got to navigate. And some people not built for that. Some people are. Some people are geniuses, but some people not, right? Some people not, and they don't know how to navigate it and satisfy all those criterion at the same time. So they forced to make decisions outside of just the music that they make, but forced with decisions on, you know, what is the best placement and the best position for me on longevity wise, where I'm trying to make sure that these people can ain't got their fangs in me for the next like 10 years. Because if I'm looking at my career and people are leveraging, you know, a relationship with a toxic company or a toxic management or a toxic whatever, and they looking like it's not worth, I'd rather not put out music for the next 10 years than to know that if I got to put out something at a certain way or a certain caliber, that these people going to own it for 10 years and they don't deserve it. You know what I'm saying? That's super duper facts. Some people don't deserve it. There's some people feel like the audience, the labels, the management aren't worthy of what they putting out. Not on some ego shit, simply because they dealing with people that are just trash human beings that always got some shit to say that ain't never got no value to add to the situation. The criticism is never constructive. It's always to tear you down. Or in the case of Atlantic, and this is what every artist at Atlantic, they make your music that you came with, they make you think that your music is trash. By the end of the listening session or by the end of the meeting, you thinking like, man, this shit trash. I really need to do what they doing, because they telling me that this ain't going to work here, or this is what the fans want to hear, or this is what you should be doing. And you, when you look at your own music, you like, man, my music ain't got none of that. This music is just all me. But they like, no, you need to think about this person thing. And they put you into a frame of mind where you think that the people own you, that the artists own you, or that the audience owns you as an artist. And your whole sole goal as being an artist is to please and pleasure and meet the expectations of this kind of like ambiguous audience that's just sitting out there somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And that's go for rock artists, polka artists, country artists, hip hop artists, everything that you can think of under the sun that's signed into a record contract. They hit this wall where it's like, we don't want what you really bring in. We won't. And Atlantic's so filthy with the shit is that they would turn around and have a team of writers, a team of producers waiting for you. So once you go through the meeting, they strip away all your esteem. They strip away all your confidence in your own work. They send you right to the studio with this, the hot producer at the time, with the creative team and the writers, and they got whole songs waiting on you. And for some niggas, they even got their raps waiting on you. You wouldn't believe the phone calls I got in the middle of the night from niggas talking about, man, won't you come in to the studio, but let me write all your shit. I mean, I wouldn't want to get that to you, right? As a critic or whatever, like, I'm finna have this dope-ass song. It's going to be huge. It's going to be all over the radio. I'm finna sell a bunch of records. The video finna be crazy. But I ain't had shit to do with it. You know what I'm saying? That's a decision where you think like, man, do I really want to be a part of something that I really ain't a part of just to appease, you know, some, and I'm not finna get really paid off of it because I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm not finna get no real publishing off of it. I'm not finna have any equity in the song. But if I do it, I'm gonna be able to go on tour for like a couple, and as long as the song is hot, and maybe I can open up for this person or get jump on this dude's tour because I got this hot song, or go to the college market or something like that. But it's a time limit on that. You're not going to be able to do that forever. And you got to go home at night. You feel me? With that on your mind, like, this success, I really had nothing to do with it. But you looking at the thousands of songs that you wrote or that you have. So, I mean, super facts, to each his own. I just feel like I wanted to bring that up. And y'all know I'm gonna talk my shit whenever I can about certain things that I have a certain experience in, and a certain knowledge. And I mean, it's certain people that just, it's certain blogs and it's certain journalists that's in rap that don't rap, that couldn't rap their way out of a paper bag, who, and I mean consistently, I'm not talking about finna sit home and write two verses. I'm talking like, nah, nigga, do 8 albums and 1,000 songs, and then we could talk, right? It's certain people that's in this business, that are around this business, that their 2 cents, it matters in the sense that you are commenting on the life and the life trajectory of another person. But it don't matter because it ain't none of your motherfucking business. You know what I'm saying? Critique the music. Talk about how trash the beats is. I tell you my whack ass verses. The verses on Promise are whack than a motherfucker. Right? Whack as fuck. In turn, when you compare it to Mural, yeah, that shit garbage. But it's for live shows. Because when I do Mural, I can't fucking move. Because I wouldn't have the breath. So sometimes you want to turn up or have that moment where you turn up in your show. So you do songs where you're not doing all them words and all that crazy multi-syllables and double entendres and triple entendres, because it's not about that. Let's have a moment in the show where we can have some fun so this shit don't turn into like a fucking boring ass what's the word I'm looking for? Like boring ass just straight bars rap show. When motherfuckers like ain't nobody moving, they just listening. Like, you want people to kind of have fun, man. You want people to come to have memorable, exciting shows. And us as artists, we recognize that there's ways to do that, right? And there's songs for everything. So on a performance side, let's turn up. On some rap shit, that shit is trash. Now I'm telling you that is trash. Does that make Lupe trash as a person? No. Does it make this ex-mumble rapper trash as a person? No. Does it make that person, even the dope, super, uber crazy rappers, right? Who go out there and they can spit all type of bars 100 different ways and there's 80 different metaphors. Does that make them a great person because they can make great raps? No. They might be a piece of shit in real life, right? But that ain't none of our business. Now, if a nigga throw himself up on a reality show, wear his ass out. Wear her ass out. If people expose themselves and put themselves in positions for their life to be on display and you critiquing their life, wear their ass out all day. Super facts, right? You want to put yourself out there like that with these wolves and these other motherfuckers? Tear their ass up, right? But if a homie just sitting back and just delivering you albums, he come out to the shows, he rock his shows, and he leave that person alone, man. Facts. Super facts. Leave him alone, man. Talk about their music. If it's whack, let it be whack. If you're not really willing to do the due diligence to even understand why certain songs are made and why certain songs have certain styles and a certain economic and industrial pressures to be competitive in the marketplace, to understand why certain songs are crafted and constructed in a certain way, certain beats are used, certain styles of beats are used because there's certain trends that are occurring all throughout music, where if you're not tuned into the trend, at least in a certain level, even your own fan base will get lost in the sauce. People like to differentiate themselves from their own work so they can have a track record that is unique, or that you can tell the difference between project to project to project, where it's not just one long ass album their entire career and there's no sign of diversity. Because diversity, to a certain point, having zero diversity and no diversity, we always say that's a problem, right? Having no diversity. You go to a school that's all white people, you're like, how come ain't no black people in here? You go to a school that's all black people, you're like, how come ain't no white people in here? Like, it's the same running the game. It's the same thing with music. Same thing with music. You got artists that want to express themselves. They want to tap into certain trends and certain things that are happening. And you shouldn't penalize them for that shit. You know what I'm saying? Let them people rock. Let them do what they want to do. If you don't like it, don't fucking listen to it. But just because you don't listen to it and you're in an authoritative position as a journalist, or you have a voice, or you're a fucking radio broadcaster and such and such and such and such, just because you don't listen to it, for whatever your personal reasons are, don't try and make other motherfuckers not listen to it either. Right? Just let that shit rock. I personally listen to everything. I listen to everything. Every type of music, every type of rap. I might not listen to that shit over and over again, but I'm gonna give it play, and I'm a, 'cause I'm a rapper. I love it. I absorb all that shit from Lil Pump all the way to fucking A$AP Rock, simply because I'm a fan of the genre. And I'm not finna speak down on no other motherfucking music because it's that's what I do. Right? I'm an artist and I appreciate other artists' work no matter what level or what caliber is on. Is every motherfucker gonna be hot as Lupe Fiasco in the bars? Fuck no. Is everybody finna be as weak as motherfucking this nigga over here? No. Everybody's gonna have their fluctuations. And everybody gonna have what they wanna do personally and professionally. Professionally, I listen to everything because I need to be competitive in the space that I'm in to a certain degree, or at least know what's out there so I know what I'm navigating. Personally, it's none of your fucking business what I listen to. You feel me? Super facts. So that's it, man. Just to reiterate and to summarize, you know, super facts. We as artists, we love y'all, but we don't fucking belong to y'all. And if you got that in your mind, that my art and my career belongs to you, and you have more say-so over how I choose to plan and plot my career, whether that plot is for ultimate success or if that plot is for ultimate failure, that's up to me. And that's up, when I say me, for every other artist out there. Stick to the music. Critique the music. The problem is, and I'm going to say this 100%, just because you're a journalist, that don't mean you're a musicologist. You probably can't even critique the music properly because you don't have a fucking expertise in music. Super facts. Think about that. Maybe you're talking about this person's personal life because you don't have the historical acumen as a journalist, as a music journalist, to really approach it how music journalism should actually be approached, taking into consideration the history of it, the context in which it's occurring, the subject matter which is there, and then how musically that subject matter is put together. What is it referencing? What is the reference points? Right? What are the actual objective levers and tools that that particular artist is using? Right? And then are you actually, do you have the credentials to actually critique to that level, to that degree? You probably fucking don't, but that's not a knock on you. So you just talk about what you talk about. But that's why I don't take none of you people serious, except like two. And they not even rap hip hop journalists. Right? Because they can critique a symphonic Beethoven album with the same level of clarity and precision that they can critique a Lil Yachty album. And then critique a banjo solo album with the same level of efficiency of detail and clarity and intellectual kind of acumen to really identify what's happening, what is derivative, and what is actually innovative within a certain project without belittling the artist or making the artist seem inferior or without recognizing the industrial or social pressures while artists would create or choose not to create in a certain way and what that means for them and their longevity. Nobody's legacy is guaranteed. Nobody's. No artist can stand and say, hey, I'm going to be around for 100 years. My music's going to stand the test of time. It was certain artists that during their lifetime were extraordinarily unsuccessful. And it took 100 years or it took 50 years for there to be a resurgence or for somebody to kind of notice this particular trend which had fell to the wayside, and then that person finally gets their shine posthumously. Right? Or they may not get their first hit record till they're 60, 70 years old. Right? So it's relative, man. Don't compare everybody by the same bar. Don't compare everybody to your own expectations of what you think music should be or what music is, especially if you're not a musicologist, right? Or you're not some type of music historian, or you can't turn off your own kind of biases toward a certain person because you don't like that person. So that's it, man. Shout to my big homie, Super Facts, my man Justin Hunt. Always good seeing you. Shout to all my peoples tuned in. Shout to everybody out there rocking on Super Facts. Again, This was Wednesday. I'll be in Chicago at the House of Blues performing. And the next day in Chicago. And then the next day, Thursday, I'll be up in Milwaukee at the Turner Hall Ballroom. So the 15th, I'll be in Chicago. 16th, I'll be at the Turner Hall Ballroom in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, performing live, me and DJ Double O. So make sure y'all come out and rock with us. And for everybody else that's wondering where we're going to be, go to LupeFiasco.com. We got a date coming up in December. December, I want to say 8th or 9th, we'll be in Colorado. And December 15th, we'll be in Berkeley, California, in the Bay. Protect Lil B. Rocking with y'all. And then next year, second week of January, we'll be in Australia and New Zealand. Check out LupeFiasco.com for all the ticket information. And you can get that and rock. And that's it, man. Appreciate y'all. If I said anything on here that's fucked up, just know it's just me rambling. Lupe Fiasco, Super Facts. Deuces.